This morning we're going to continue in our series of messages that we've been talking about, the purpose of the cross. And so over the last several weeks, we've taken what Jesus has said on the cross and some things that have happened, and we've talked about the different purposes that the crucifixion and the resurrection is all about. The first week, we looked at some of the elements going in, and we talked about forgiveness. The purpose of the cross is forgiveness. When Jesus, while he was being beaten up, he was being attacked, he was being insulted and criticized, he looked out at the crowd, to the very people who were insulting him and making fun of him, and he says, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do." And then there was that powerful moment on the cross when the thief who was beside him looked at him and says, "I know who you are. You are Jesus Christ." And he looked over at Jesus. He says, "Hey, when you get into heaven, will you remember me?" And Jesus says these very powerful words. He says, "Today you will be with me in paradise." That we can have forgiveness of our sins and that gift of eternity in heaven if we call on the name of Jesus. Well, the second week we looked at was love. And in the midst that while Jesus was being crucified, he was on the cross, the crowds were chanting at him, all of his friends had abandoned him except for his mother and a few close friends of her friends and his friend John. And they were all at the foot of the cross there. And he looks down in the midst of all that, and he says some things. He has this very intimate conversation with his mother, that in the midst of that, he took time to care and show love for his mother and others. And from that, we learn how we need to be around those who are very close to us and who we love the most. Last week, we talked about sacrifice. And the ultimate sacrifice of somebody giving their lives. And as you saw in the video there, as we were singing the first song, it was a terrible, humiliating, painful death that Jesus suffered on the cross. But it wasn't just the painful, humiliating, physical aspect of it. But there was a part of there where Jesus cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me?" And what this means is that there was a time when Jesus Christ, at that moment, was taking on the sins of the world. He was taking on the boneheaded things that I've done that I regret. He was taking on the sins of everybody else. He was taking on your resentment. He was taking on your bitterness. He was taking on your addiction. He was taking on your lies and your arrogance and your pride. He was taking all those things on. And it was such a tremendous amount of weight that God Himself could not even look at Jesus. And for a moment, He was separated. It's the only time when Jesus calls God, "My God." Of every other time Jesus refers to God in the Bible, it is Father. But there was a time, because God is holy, and that Jesus was taking on the sins of the world, that even God had to turn His head from His only Son, Jesus. And the world rejoiced because they thought, this Jesus character, he's a goner. And he died. But we know that's not the end of the story, and that's where we pick up today. And instead of looking at the cross and the things that happened there, I want to look at what Jesus had to say a few days before when he was talking to his disciples. So if you have your Bibles today, go ahead and open up to the book of John. John chapter 16. John chapter 16, Jesus, let me set the stage a little bit here. Jesus makes some statements and his followers were confused. They had no clue of what he was saying, and oftentimes I find myself in that category as well. So he has to clarify a little bit of what he was saying. But let me take you back to a few days before the arrest and the crucifixion. And we remember several weeks ago we talked about the scene where Jesus was with his disciples in the upper room. It was a very intimate scene. Jesus does something astounding. He washes his disciples' feet. An act of service that was reserved for the lowest of servants. Yet Jesus Christ demonstrated how to serve by washing his disciples' feet. Then we see this Last Supper here, and he says, "You will be with me, but not all of you," because Judas was with him, and we know Judas was the one who betrayed him. And I'm sure he's thinking, "Yeah, not all of you guys are going to be with me." Judas, wink, wink, and looking sort of over at him. But then they travel, they go out of that upper room, and they go into the Garden of Gethsemane there, and he begins to teach them and give them a little bit, some lessons. And we talked about where Jesus was talking about being connected to the vine. That if we're not connected to the vine, if we're not remaining in Christ, we will not bear fruit. And if we don't bear fruit, the only thing that we're good for is to be cut up and burned as firewood. And so he says, hey, live your life on purpose. And then he says some words here in chapter 16, verse 16. I'm going to read here. Now, some of you, your Bibles may have a subtitle there. The disciples' grief will turn to joy. These titles were not put in by God, okay? These were added by men later. And to me, it's a very inopportune time because it sort of divides up. So I'm just going to read this straight through. And I want you to hear what's happening here. So here's Jesus having this conversation with his followers. And he says this, in a little while, you will see me no more. And then after a little while, you will see me. He's getting ready to die on the cross. He knows what's going on. The disciples, they haven't quite caught on yet. They're a little slow on the take. And then some of his disciples said to one another, what does he mean by saying, in a little while, you will see me no more. And then after a little while, you will see me. And because I am going to the Father, they kept asking. What does he mean by a little while? We don't understand what he is saying. Jesus saw that they wanted to ask about this. So he said to them, are you asking one another what I meant when I said, in a little while you will see me no more, and then after a little while you will see me? And then Jesus goes on and he begins to explain. He says, I tell you the truth, you will weep and mourn while the world rejoices. You will grieve, but your grief will turn to joy. And he goes on to continue to explain. He's saying, in a little while, you know what? They're going to crucify me. The world's going to think it's all done. But it's not. There's a resurrection that's going to happen. And they're still not quite getting it. And so he goes on and says, this is also, you're going to be with me in a little while. Talking about the eternity of heaven. But this is the key that we understand what he's talking about here. And go down to verse 33 here in chapter 16. And this is what he says. I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble. Can I get an amen for that? In this world you will have trouble. But listen here. This is what the resurrection is all about. But take heart, I have overcome this world. What he's saying here is that there's going to be some difficult times that come in your life, but you're on the winning team. If you sign up with me, he says, don't worry, you will have peace. There is an eternal outcome. But even in these moments, you can survive your life and you can live your life victorious because I have overcome the world. He has overcome death by being raised from the dead. And we are guaranteed a victory. It reminds me of when I was a little kid. I played baseball. I think I was probably 8 or 9 years old, and I was on the baseball team. And you guys probably will be surprised by this, but I wasn't that good of a baseball player. Matter of fact, I was terrible. I was long, lanky, and skinny. My legs grew faster than the rest of my body, and it was comical, to say the least, when I watch old home movies of me playing baseball. So, anyway, here's the team. This team that I played on, we were the Clippers, and we won every single game that season. Not only did we win every single game that season, we went on to the championship, and we played under the lights at night, and it was exciting, and we won every championship, we won every game and won the championship. We were the only team to go undefeated. I tell you what, it was awesome. After every game that we won, we got to go to the Dairy Queen. It was great. I ate ice cream. I loved it. It was wonderful. And then after we won the championship, we had a big pizza party and pool party at the coach's house. And I got to swim and celebrate and eat that pizza. But I want to tell you something. I contributed zero to those winning teams. I didn't make an out. I didn't make a score. I barely, I don't recall hitting the ball. When I was up to bat, you know, it was adult pitch and you know, the coach, the dads, they were really trying to help me, but they would pitch the ball and I would either strike out or I would get walked. And when I played in the outfield, I played in the outfield, way outfield. And the only action I saw were the crickets and the grasshoppers jumping around and the mosquitoes buzzing around. And so I didn't see a lot of action. But let me tell you something. I got to celebrate the victories, not on my own merit, but because of what other people did. You know what? I enjoyed the ice cream just like everybody else. I enjoyed that pool party just like everyone else. It's the same here with what Jesus wants us to do. He says, you're on the winning team. He says, I'm going to make all the plays. I'm going to score all the runs. All you have to do is be on my team. And you're going to grow and you're going to learn. But the victory is already won because of what happened on Easter. Man, that is some great news, because sometimes in life, I don't feel like a victor. I feel like a loser. Sometimes in life, I look at my life and I feel lousy. I feel like a mess up, that nothing good could ever come from me. Maybe you feel that way today. You might not feel like a champion. Your victory may seem distant and far away. But let me tell you something. If you sign up on Jesus' team, if you come to the point where you place your faith in Jesus Christ and you follow Him, you will be able to claim the victory because of what Jesus did this morning over 2,000 years ago when He was resurrected from the dead. So because of Easter, I can have victory. Well, what can I have victory from? Well, there's three areas I want us to talk about how we can have victory in our life. The first area is I can have victory from the pain of yesterday. I can have victory from the past. Sometimes what I realize, or many of us, we are stuck in the past. Our present is harnessed and it's sort of slowed down because of our experiences in the past. And we let our experiences of the past hold us back from experiencing everything that God wants us to experience. When I think about how I'm stuck in the past, you know, what's interesting to me is I believe that oftentimes we have good experiences in life and we have bad experiences in life. But more often, we let our lives be shaped by our negative and bad experiences, don't we? Instead of letting the good times shape us, we get hurt and we think, oh, I can't do that anymore. Or I tried that once and I got hurt. Or I messed up there, I'm no good. And we get formed by our past experiences. And I think people get stuck in the past in basically two areas. The first is in resentment. We resent the things that have happened to us in the past. You ever have resentment towards anything or anybody or an experience in life? I have. I resent the way that I was treated that time in my life. I resent the way I was brought up. I resent the way that things happen. We resent all sorts of things in our lives. We haven't let go of that resentment. Maybe you're resentful from your parents because they didn't talk nice to you. Matter of fact, they may have been verbally abusive or physically abusive, and you resent your childhood. Maybe you resent that spouse that you have a divorce from and that first marriage that just ended in heartache, and you resent that. Maybe you resent those experiences where you fell flat on your face, where you were embarrassed. Whatever it is, what is it that you have not gotten over in life? What is it that, as I talk about resentment, that comes to your mind, that you think about this thing? You know, I've never gotten over that. Let me ask you this. Who are you holding a grudge against today? See, God doesn't want us to live with a pile of resentment, because resentment only holds me back from moving forward with what God wants me to do. Listen to these words in the book of Isaiah, chapter 43, verses 18 and 19, where we're instructed to this. Forget the former things, do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Bottom line is, in life, we have resentment. We have things that we wish we would have never had. But we stay stuck there. But God promises, hey, don't get hung up on the past too much. Don't get hung up back there, because I'm going to do a new thing in your life. If you feel like your life has been nothing but a steps of mistakes and failures, it's time to get over that, because of the resurrection power of Jesus Christ, you can move forward. So we're stuck in the past of our resentment. The other area I think we're stuck in the past of is our regrets. This is me. Ever do anything you regretted doing? Oh, I do. I think about my life and I think, man, I was such a bonehead. Why did I do that? I have said things to people that I've hurt people, and I think, why did I hurt that person? Why did I allow that anger to come out? Why did I do this, or why did I do that? God, how could you ever forgive me? I can't believe I let myself get caught up in this activity or this mindset or these thoughts. And we have all these regrets. And it's amazing to me that Satan always seems to be able to pull those regrets out of our mind more than we can remember the good things about us, isn't it? Those things that you're not good enough. You're not smart enough. You used to do that. But listen to Romans chapter 3, verses 23 and 24. The Apostle Paul writes this. He says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and are justified freely by His grace through the redemption that came from Jesus Christ." You know, we look at this. God wants to help you get over the pain of your regrets. You see, Jesus hung on the cross so that we would stop hanging ourselves over the past of our lives. That we would quit hanging ourselves on self-pity. That we would quit hanging ourselves with regrets and doubts and low self-confidence. We've all made mistakes. We've hurt other people. But Jesus Christ, when He was on the cross, it was in that moment that He was taking on the sin of you and of me. That moment when God had to look away. That moment when He cried out, my God, why have You forsaken Me?" It was so that you would not have to live your life full of your regrets. Because that's where we want to stop. But there's more to the story, isn't there? Jesus died, and 3 days later, He was brought back to life from the dead. And it is that power that we have to transform our lives. See, we have the same power that created the earth, that brought Jesus back from the dead. That same power is available to us to transform our lives. The purpose of the cross is victory because Jesus overcame the world, because He overcame death. I can be free from the pain of yesterday. I can also be free from the pressures of today. Anybody here feel stressed out? When the alarm clock went off this morning, did any of you like, "Oh, I can't believe it's already time to get up"? Anybody? Or was I the only one? Thank you, Jay. All right, I'll remember. Oh, Roger, good. A couple honest of you guys in here. Very good. Yeah, you know, we are stressed out in this world. Do you ever feel like your life is out of control? You ever feel you're out of balance? You ever get tired just thinking about the things that you have to do in life? More and more, we busy ourselves to the point of exhaustion. We try to do so many things in life. We forget to do the one very thing that gives us the strength to get through all of these things and to do all of these things. And that's calling the name of God. Jesus' words when He said this in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 and 29. He says, "Come to Me, all of you who are weary and are burdened, and I will give you rest." You know, this last week for me personally, I've been exhausted. It's been one of those weeks where there's just too many things to do. There's too many places to be. There's too many expectations to live up to. There's too many people pulling for my attention. I need to take care of my family, and I need to take care of my church, and I need to take care of this, and I need to take care of that, and the lawn needs mowed, and the gutters need cleaned out, and I need to go talk to somebody, and I need to do this and that and all the other. I just was feeling, in the midst of even writing this message, I was feeling worn out, torn apart, shredded up. At the end of my rope, I was feeling like I was going to snap any time. You ever feel like you're going to snap any time? You ever witnessed one of those occasions? You know, you're like in the grocery store, and the mom, you know, has had enough of the little kid. And then, oh boy, it's like, you know, the straw that broke the camel's back. And that, you know, and then all of a sudden, somebody has a meltdown in the middle of a public place. We've all seen it. How many of you have been it? You know? How many of us have been there? And we snap at the people we love. We yell at them because, you know what? We're getting our strength. We're trying to get our strength from ourselves. Someone was telling me, I was recently talking with someone, they're like, "Chad, I can't do it on my own." See, you're exactly right. Because when we try to do it on our own, we fail. And the pain and the pressures of today will just be overwhelming for us. And if we're not hooked into a higher power, what do we start to do? We start to cut off relationships. We start to cut off activities. We start to wall up around people. We start to seclude ourselves. We start to push everybody else away. And we fall into depression and hurt and anxiety. What we need to do is be connected to the power source that gives power. Jesus says, come to me, all of you. Why can I trust those words of Jesus? Because he has the power to overcome death, to overcome the world. I was talking with a friend of mine, and I remember him going through a very difficult time in his life, and I remember someone came up to him. There was some tragedy in his family, there was some stress, some family things going on, and there was some stress in there, and I remember this conversation, someone coming up to him says, man, you lived the charmed life. I wish I had your life. You don't have any problems in your life. And I knew what was going on under the surface with this guy. I knew the tragedy that was going on in his family. I knew the heartache that was happening. I knew about the struggles that they were going through in other areas. And I remember this guy, it's not a trick, but what my friend, he was a mentor to me. I remember it's not about pretending to be okay. It's about he was really okay in life. Because even though his world was falling apart, he had peace. The same peace that Jesus talked about. He says, when you, in this life, you will have trouble, but I give you peace. How did he have that peace? Because that friend of mine who looked like he didn't have a care in the world, his life was built on God's word. He was involved in serving others. He was involved in praising and worshiping and praying and reading and all of those things. See, I think if the truth were known, if we took an x-ray of everybody's heart today, it would show that many of us are running on empty. You're emotionally empty, you're physically empty, you're spiritually empty. Folks, Jesus Christ, he overcame the world so that you wouldn't have to live emotionally, physically, and spiritually bankrupt. That you could be filled with the Holy Spirit. That's the victory that Jesus brings. So we have the purpose of the cross is victory. Victory from one, from the pain of yesterday, from the pressures of today. And this is my favorite, the third one. We have victory over the pessimism of tomorrow. Anybody here feel a little pessimistic at times? This, I'm going to tell you a little pet peeve of mine. People who claim to be Christians who walk around all the time pessimistic. Well, you know, the economy's not very good. Well, my marriage is never going to get better. Well, things are just the way they are. Nothing's going to change. Well, I've tried it before and I failed, so I'm not even going to attempt it again. Well, you know this. Well, you know that. And it irritates me to no end to know that Jesus Christ died on the cross, that terrible, terrible death, that he was separated from God for that moment. And we don't have the confidence to hold our head high, to have hope for future and hope for victory in life. I love Jeremiah 29:11 because no matter what you're going through in life, this is a promise that you can hold on to. You. Many of you know this verse. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Some of you need hope and some of you need a future. And there's a reason that I think we get pessimistic. Sometimes we lose our faith. We lose our faith in God. We don't think that God can do things anymore. This world is such a mess. People are so evil. It's so bad. All these other things. And you hear it. And you know what? I can fall into that too. I hate reading the newspaper. It just disgusts me, the things that happen in our culture today. But if I only look at that aspect of life, I will have lost faith in God. But I know that there is a promise that Paul tells us about in the book of Romans that when sin increases, you know what? God's grace increases all the more. That every time that there is a sin, there's an opportunity for grace. Every time that there's a tragedy, there's an opportunity for healing. Every time that there's an injustice, there's an opportunity to show justice. The problem is, as Christians, we're not too energized about going out and showing justice and showing grace and showing mercy and showing love. Because we've lost faith that God can do those things. I believe He can, folks. I believe He can. We've also lost our purpose. Some of us walk around pessimistic and the world's no good. You may think, well, you know, I went to school so I could go to college so I could get my great job and I could, you know, marry my wife and or my husband and I can have my 2.5 kids and my nice car, my nice house. And you may have had all those things and two things happen. Either you get there, And you think, is this all there is in life? Or the second thing is this. All of a sudden, you worked real hard to get all those things, and the stock market takes a tumble and it's all gone, and you think, oh my goodness, what's my life all about anyway? Well, where's your hope? What's your purpose? If your purpose was simply to put on earth to make money, then you would be disappointed. But if your purpose is greater than that, is the calling of Jesus Christ to go and make disciples, to follow Him, to grow in your faith, then no matter what comes your way, guess what? You can be optimistic about tomorrow. Why? Because there are promises after promises in the Bible that tell us that God has a purpose regardless of our circumstances, and He'll use everything that you and I go through to glorify Him. And He'll use it for good. And I believe that with all my heart. See, the bottom line is, you've had some hard knocks in life. You've had some trouble in life. You've made decisions that were really, really bad. You've turned your back on God. And sometimes you think, you know what? Life's just not even worth it. This marriage is not even worth it. This career is not even worth it. And you're ready to give in the towel. But I want you to know that God cares for you. See, you may have scars from your life. Guess what? Jesus had scars when He was on that cross. He knows what you're going through. You may feel abandoned and that no one else understands what you're going through in life. Guess what? Jesus was abandoned. First, Judas betrayed Him. Then all of His disciples, they fled because they were afraid. Here He was, all alone on the cross. Even God Himself turned His head and couldn't even look at the sin that He took upon His shoulders. He knows what you're going through. You may feel that you don't have any hope. Well, the world rejoiced on that day that Jesus died. But if that were the end of the story, we would have no hope. But that's not the end of the story. The end of the story is this. Jesus Christ lives. And the end of that story is the beginning of our story. And because He lives, because He was raised from the dead, you and I, guess what? We get to eat ice cream at the Dairy Queen. We get to have that pool party and pizza party. And there will be a day, regardless of what happens here, that if you're faithful in your commitment to Christ and you accept His grace and His love, that when we pass from our time here on earth, there will be a welcoming party for you in heaven. Do you believe that we are victorious in life? If so, then let's live like we claim the victory. Amen? Let's live like Jesus is alive, because He is. Let's go out and attack this world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let's attack hell with squirt guns, you know? Let's make it hard to go to hell in Ellettsville, all right? Let's go and change this world.